Well, there's a lot in the story of Jonah, and if we were to do real justice to this book, we would need to park ourselves here for a number of weeks. But we're in the middle of another series at the present time. We're looking at 2 Corinthians normally on these Sunday mornings. But we're having another week's break to look at this book of Jonah on special request. And so just this one sermon on the book of Jonah. Four chapters in this book and four lessons this morning to learn from these chapters. Okay? Four chapters and four lessons. And I'm going to make it simple and hopefully short. You know, I'm not known for short, but I'll try and I'll make it simple. At least I'll try, so that at least the person who asked me to preach on Jonah may get something from it, and I trust all of us will gain from this book. So here's the first lesson. Okay, here's the first lesson. There is no way you can run from God. There's no way you can run from God. Now, Jonah was a servant of God. We're not told really anything about him here, are we? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." But we do have mention of Jonah somewhere else, in 2 Kings in chapter 14. And there, Jonah is described as a servant of the Lord. He is a prophet of God. And usually, he would speak God's word to the Israelites. But on this occasion, God is sending him out of his home country, out of Israel, and sending him into the country of the Assyrians and to their capital city, Nineveh. Now, the Assyrians weren't on friendly terms with the Israelites. They were enemies. In fact, Israel was in great danger from the Assyrians. And so for Jonah to be asked to go and preach God's word to the enemy, well, that was more than he could handle. And so instead of going off in the direction of Nineveh, he goes in the opposite direction. He heads west towards Tarshish. He goes from wherever he is at the time that he is called, down to Joppa, where he boards a boat and goes down into it, and then he heads west towards Tarshish. He is fleeing away from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to run from God. But there's a problem, and it's a problem that Jonah ought to have known. The problem is that God is everywhere. God isn't just in Israel. God isn't just in amongst the people that he had called by his name to be a special people for him, but God is everywhere. At that very moment in time, when Jonah was running from Joppa, or sailing from Joppa perhaps is the better term, sailing from Joppa to Tarshish, God was in New Zealand. And God was in Britain. And God was in America. Now, perhaps none of those places had those names at that time. God was there because God is everywhere. So it wouldn't have mattered where Jonah had bought a ticket to. He wouldn't be running away from God. He would be running to God, because God is everywhere. He couldn't escape from God. There was nowhere he could hide away from God. You cannot escape from him. You can try and run, but you cannot hide from God. That's what we sang about in Psalm 139, isn't it? That God knows us, that God is with us, that God is powerful. Those three great truths that ought to have guided Jonah to immediately surrender to God and say, "Your will be done." But instead, Jonah was acting very foolishly and he tried to run away from God. There is nowhere in this world you can run away from God. No, it's no good trying to run away from God and hide in the shrubbery at the bottom of the garden. God knows where you are when you're there. It's no good trying to run away from home and hide away in some other place to avoid your responsibilities that God has given to you. Because wherever you go, God is there. He knows, he sees, he understands. There's nowhere in this world that you can run away from God. And let me bring it into a modern context, because sadly it isn't that people run so much away physically as they run away in their minds, in their thoughts, and in their emotions and affections. And let me tell you that you cannot even run away from God in the virtual world. You can get out your gadget, and you can stream movies, and you can enter into online games, and you can do all of these things, and you can waste hours and hours and hours and avoid your responsibilities, but you cannot avoid God anywhere, anytime, any place. There is nowhere you can run away from God. You may not feel like God is present, but God is there. God knows all. And that is true whether you are his servant or not. There is Jonah, and he's running, running, running down to Joppa. He hands over a small fortune to a ship's captain to take him across the seas towards Tarshish. He is running, running, running away from God, even though he's a servant of God. God has him tagged. He knows where he is every moment of the day. He's plotting the course, and he's there, right there on that boat, down in the depths of its hull. God is there. Jonah cannot escape him, this servant of God. He belongs to God. He is under orders from God, and God isn't going to let him get away with this. But even the enemies of God cannot escape from God. Where was Jonah to go? Well, he was to go to Nineveh, that great city, the capital city of the Assyrians. And he was to call out against it, for their evil has come up before me, God says. I know all about those Assyrians. I know every thought in their minds, every word that they speak, every action that they perform. I know it all. They cannot escape. They cannot escape from me. They can have the best armaments in the world, but they cannot defend themselves from me and from my justice. There is nowhere you can run from God, even if you're not his servant. Even if you think you don't owe him anything, you cannot run away from God. That's the first lesson. And that's an important lesson, you see, because even though you may feel that you don't owe God anything, you actually do. Because God made you. And God has given you everything that you have. The clothes that you're wearing have come because of God's kindness. The food that you've eaten this day, or will eat later this day, it is God's kind provision for you. The home that you live in, that shelters you from the storms, God has given that out of his kindness. It is all God's provision in every generation, in every age, in every place around the world. God has shown his kindness in causing the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And all owe to him thanksgiving and worship, praise and service. So you do owe God. Your life is intended to glorify him, and if you're not living it for his glory, well, you're in debt to God. And God knows where you are. And there's no way you can run away from him. But the second lesson is this. There is no way you can't talk to God. There's nowhere you can't talk to God. Jonah had been disobedient. He had run away from God, or at least he had tried to. But he couldn't. And God reached out to him as he sailed away from Joppa on the Mediterranean Sea. God hurled a great wind at that boat. A mighty tempest came on that sea. The boat itself threatened to break up, and the sailors, who were used to storms on this sea, well, they were so afraid. They were in fear of their lives, and they started throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the ship that it might be more buoyant and ride above the waves. But it became more and more stormy. Until at last the sailors at their wits' end decide, well, there's something divine about this storm. There's something not natural about what's going on here. And they cast lots to see, what was it? Why was it? How was it that they were in this predicament? And the lot fell on Jonah. This is God's doing. Even the dice are under God's control. He knows, he sees, and he's got his eye on Jonah. And the lot fell on Jonah. They say to him, what's going on? Tell us what you've done. And he tells them who he is and whom he serves and the fact that he has been fleeing away from God. And it explains it all, this great storm and the threat to their lives. And when they ask him what should they do to him, he understands, he knows, this is all his fault. He says, hurl me over the side. And all quiet and down. Well, they don't really want to have the guilt of another man's blood on their hands, and so they wait a while, they try rowing even harder, but to no avail. So eventually they do ask God's forgiveness and throw Jonah over the side. I don't know whether they asked him for his forgiveness. They probably felt that he deserved it all, and he did. And so Jonah continues in the direction he's always been going, down to Joppa. Down into the boat, now down into the sea. Down, down, down he goes. And just as his lungs are bursting for air, some great creature gobbles him up. And there in the belly of that fish there's air to breathe. And he opens his eyes and he looks around, and there's nothing to see in the pitch blackness, but he knows that he's in some living creature, and he knows that he's deep down below the waves that had so wreaked havoc upon that ship. And there, deep down in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea, Jonah cries out to God. No one can hear him. Not a soul in all the earth can hear Jonah's cries to God. Even that great sea creature, perhaps he felt a little tickling in his tummy. Perhaps he thought there was a sound of rumbling coming from down deep in his tummy. But God heard clearly every word that Jonah spoke. God heard it. It didn't matter that he was deep down in the ocean. It didn't matter that he was trapped there in the belly of a great fish. It didn't matter where he was, because as we've said, God is everywhere. And so you can cry out to God
from
anywhere. But more than this, remember why it is that Jonah is there in the belly of the fish. Why was he there? Because he'd been naughty. Because he'd been disobedient. Because instead of obeying God and doing what was right for him to do, he ran away from God and did what was wrong for him to do. And yet, deep down in that ocean, in the belly of that fish, Jonah cries out to God. Because he knows that there is no way you can't talk to God. And it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter why you are there. You can still talk to God. Even if you've done wrong, you can talk to God. Even if you've been running away from God, you can talk to God. Now, do you ever feel, perhaps, that when you've done wrong, when you've disobeyed your parents, and you've run off and you've not done the things that they've been asking you to do, and you've stomped your feet and you've gone off in an angry fit, a tantrum, and you've hidden yourself away in the bottom of the garden or in the attic of the house or wherever it is that you have a hiding place, do you ever feel to yourself, well, I can't talk to mummy and daddy now? Not after what I've done. Not after what I've said. Not after the way I've behaved. I can't talk to them now. Jonah knew that he could talk to God. Even though he had behaved so badly, he could still cry out to God. And God would hear. God would listen. Doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter why you are there, you can cry out to God. Now, there's a vital ingredient. There's something important about these cries to God that will ensure that they are heard by God. For we could cry out to God in an angry way, in a bitter way, in a demanding way, and say, "This isn't fair. You can't do this to me." Well, it is fair, and God can. And that's a problem in our hearts, isn't it? Feeling that God owes us something and demanding things from God. That isn't the kind of person that God speaks to. But if you come to your senses and you realize who you are and what you've done, then God will hear. Here's what he says right at the very end of that long prophecy of Isaiah, in the 66th chapter, and in the second verse, he says, "This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." He who is humble and contrite, he who is sorry for those sinful attitudes, he who is sorry for those angry words, he who is sorry for his disobedience, God says, that's the person I'll listen to. And it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done to get there, God will listen. When you cry out to him with a humble and contrite heart, there is nowhere in all this world that you can't talk to God. That's the second lesson that we learn from the story of Jonah. Now there's a third lesson in the third chapter, and that is that there is nowhere you can't be saved by God. Nowhere in all this world where you can't be saved by God. Jonah gets a second chance, doesn't he? God rescues him, uses that great fish, whatever it was, that vomits him up on dry land. I don't suppose Jonah looked a pretty sight when he landed on dry land. He's been hungry for a number of days. He's been caught up in the belly of a great fish. And now, all bedraggled, God comes to him and says, "Arise, go to Nineveh. Here you are, Jonah. Here's my commission. You are my servant, and you are my servant still. And you're to go to Nineveh according to my word." And so he went. He's learned his lesson. He can't run away from God. And he goes to Nineveh, that great and evil city. And he enters into that city and he begins to cry out to the people there, 40 more days and then Nineveh will be overthrown. Now we know that he said a little bit more than that. It wasn't just that those were the only words he spoke as he walked through the streets. We know that they knew more about him than that. The New Testament tells us that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, to the people of this great city. In other words, it wasn't just the words that he spoke, but it was what he had done. And what had happened to him was a sign to the Ninevites. They wouldn't have seen it with their own eyes, but I imagine he spoke of it as he proclaimed to them their own overthrow. Well, Jonah may have been a reluctant servant, but he had learned his lesson and he spoke the truth to his enemies in Nineveh. God had been ready to forgive him and set him on his feet again and commission him once again to do this task that he desired to be performed in Nineveh. And so, way down in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea, God had shown mercy to Jonah and saved him. And now, as the people of Nineveh hear what had happened to Jonah, and they hear of God's wrath against them, and that judgment was coming upon them, they change. There's a transformation that takes place in Nineveh. They see the fact that here was a prophet, here was a servant of God who ran away from God. And the wrath of God came upon him. And yet when he cried out to him, God had mercy. And God saved him. And here are the Ninevites, and they're scratching their heads and they're saying, if it happened to him, could it happen to us? If God saved rebellious Jonah, could he save rebellious Ninevites? And so they put on sackcloth and sit in the ashes and they cry out to God for mercy, confessing their sins. And God is ready to forgive, because there's nowhere you can't be saved by God. Nowhere in all the world where his hand of mercy can't reach. The one who comes to him crying out for mercy will not be cast out, Jesus said. What a wonderful truth, what a wonderful lesson to learn. But though we may have been as rebellious as Jonah, or though we may be as evil as the Ninevites, there is hope. For there is nowhere in all the world you can't be saved by God, where you're beyond his reach, because there is nowhere where you can run away from God. There is nowhere where God isn't present. And there is nowhere in all the world where you can't talk to God, so you can cry out to him for mercy. So there is nowhere in all the world you can't be saved by God, if you will cry out to him for mercy. And then finally, fourth lesson from the fourth chapter, there is nowhere you can do better than God. Jonah is there. He's done what he was asked to do. He's gone to Nineveh. He didn't like it, but he had to lump it. He spoke the word that God had given him. He told the story of his own life. He portrayed God as this great and powerful and just God, but also a God of mercy. But he's not happy. Oh, Jonah is exceedingly displeased. He is angry. Angry that God should show mercy to the enemies of Israel. Angry that God should forgive a wicked people. He said, this is why I wanted to run away. I knew you were this kind of God. Merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. I didn't want this to happen to the Ninevites. I hate the Ninevites. And the Lord said to him, do you do well to be angry? Is this good, Jonah? This attitude in your heart, is it good? Jonah stomps out of the city. And he sits down to the east of the city. He makes himself a little booth of some branches that he finds. And there he sulks, waiting to see, will God judge? Or has he truly shown compassion and forgiven this great city? And as he sits there, sulking and watching and waiting, a vine grows up, a plant grows over those dead branches that he had gathered and tried to make a shelter of. And they cover it with leaves so that the sun doesn't come through the gaps in the branches, and he's shaded and sheltered. And Jonah's so glad. What an interesting coincidence that this plant should grow up just here where I've built this shelter. How nice. And he's happy for a day. Until the next day, when the leaves get eaten and the sun shines down and a hot wind blows, and the smile turns to a frown on Jonah's face. And he is exceedingly angry and now exceedingly uncomfortable as well. And he wants to die. Jonah hated the Assyrians. He was embarrassed with his mission. What are the Israelites going to say when I go home? That God should show mercy to Nineveh, our enemies. But God shows his grace to undeserving Jonah. He shelters him and protects him. And why should he not shelter anyone from the evil that they deserve, from the judgment that they earn through their hatred and anger and vindictiveness? Yes, Jonah is shown mercy once again. And Nineveh? Well, why should they not be shown mercy? Are they really any worse than a Jonah? Are they really any worse than the Israelites, who at that very time are rebelling against God and worshipping idols? Jonah didn't like God's ways, but God's ways are always best. His call to us is always a good call. His commands to us are always good commands. And if we take them to heart and follow them with diligence, we will find that God's ways are always worthwhile. You know, there is nowhere we can do better than God. Nowhere in all this world where his word is not a better guide for our lives than our own wisdom and our own understanding. Look where it took Jonah. Look at all the trouble that he faced and all the bitterness of heart that he brought into his life because he didn't embrace God's ways. And he didn't reflect God's heart. There is nowhere you can do better than God. So there are four lessons for you from this book of Jonah. There's nowhere you can run from God. There is nowhere you can't talk to God. There is nowhere you can't be saved by God. And there is nowhere you can do better than God. So I urge you, come to God. If you've been running away from God, come to Him this morning and find that God is better than all that you could believe, all that you could dream, all that you could imagine. And His salvation is sure, and His mercy is great. God planned all of this, you know that, don't you? God planned to deal with Jonah in this amazing way. Who would have imagined it? This way of dealing with a man. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't God thinking to himself as he watched Jonah bobbing up and down on this little boat on the Mediterranean Sea and thinking to himself, well, he's off to Tarshish. I need to put a stop to that. Ah, I know, a wind. That'll do it. And God sent a little wind and then a bigger wind and then an even bigger wind. No, it isn't God reacting to this wayward servant's disobedience. God was purposeful. He designed all of these events. The story of Jonah, you see, isn't about Jonah. The story of Jonah is about Jesus. It's telling us that he died and he rose again from the dead to bring salvation to the nations of this world. Nations like Israel and like Nineveh and like so many other nations of this world that deserve his judgment but may receive his mercy. God sent his own son into this world to take that judgment and to bring that mercy to them. He died for the sins of his people. He rose again to give them life. And the story of Jonah is the story of Jesus, to whom you can come even now. Like the people of Nineveh, you can cry out to him with sorrow for sin and cries for mercy, and God will hear and God will save. But if you choose to reject him, then you must face God's judgment yourself. And the writer of Hebrews tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jonah knew the truth of that as he sank into the Mediterranean Sea. The Ninevites understood the truth of that as they heard the words of judgment from Jonah's lips. And the people of Nineveh saw it and they repented. And they found mercy from this terrifying God. And you would do well to imitate them. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would help us to learn these lessons. That there is nowhere that we can run from you. In this real world or in the virtual world, there is nowhere that we can run away from our responsibilities. You know where we are. You know in which dark, hidden corners we are seeking to take refuge from our responsibilities to you. We thank you that you are a God who doesn't leave us, but you are a God who reaches out. You shake up our world to bring us to our senses, as you brought Jonah to his senses, as you brought the prodigal son to his senses. And so many of us here can testify that you brought us to our senses. We thank you for that. We thank you that there is nowhere we can't talk to you, even in the darkest place, even when we have come to an end of ourselves and realize the folly of our attitudes and actions that have brought us to the place that we are, even though our sins may be piling up upon us and weighing us down, there is nowhere we can't talk to you and confess those sins to you with a humble and contrite heart, appealing to you for mercy. We thank you, dear Lord, that there is nowhere we can't be saved by you. There is nowhere where we're out of reach of your arm of salvation. There is nowhere where we're out of reach of the cry for help, and that you are unable to come to us, for you are everywhere, and you are ready to save, and you do all things well. And so may we learn that there is nowhere we can do better than you. And so in every place and every situation, teach us to gladly submit to your will, to walk in your ways, and to know your peace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.